to preach long. I heard a story about a pastor's wife, and she, one night after the Sunday evening service, they got home, and she just kind of plopped down in the chair, and she said, "Boy, am I tired." And her husband, of course, who was the pastor, you know, he kind of looked over at her and said, "What do you mean? I mean, I had to do a funeral yesterday, and I did Sunday school this morning and preached in the Sunday morning service, and I did the evening service as well. Why are you so tired?" And she said, "Well, dear, I had to listen to you preach all those sermons, and so I'm going to try and be short and to the point this morning. But at least all my sermons have a happy ending, amen? Everyone's happy when they're done. So keep that in mind. It's going to end sometime." The Bible says there in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to preach. I thank you, Lord, for these dear people that have gathered here this morning to be fed, to receive instruction from you today, Lord. And Lord, I have nothing to say to these dear people, Lord, only what you have given me. And I pray, Lord, that the words that are spoken, Lord, would not be received as the words of a mere man, Lord, but as the very words of you, Lord, who are speaking through us, Lord, and speaking to us, Lord, this morning. And Lord, I pray, God, this morning that I would not get in your way. Lord, I realize and I understand, God, that I am nothing, and without you that I can do nothing, Lord. And Lord, I humble myself before you today. I humble myself under your mighty hand, Lord. And may you be exalted and lifted up on high in the service. May you receive all the glory and honor today. May you do a work in our hearts and our lives this morning. Draw us closer to you. And I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that's not sure of their salvation, not sure of their, Lord, whether they're going to spend eternity, I pray that you'd help them to get that matter settled today before they leave this building. In your name we pray and ask these things. Amen. The Bible says there in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 18, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, according to what we're reading here in this verse, according to what the Apostle Paul is writing to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit is not a suggestion. It's not an option. It's a command. And if we as believers are not living in the Spirit, if we are not living Holy Spirit-filled lives, we're being disobedient to the command of the Lord. We're not in God's will at all. Now, everyone who is saved, every believer, every Christian receives the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. That's what the Bible teaches. I don't believe that you get saved and then later on, if you've prayed long enough and hard enough and if you've done enough good things, that God will give you give the Holy Spirit to you. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that a Christian receives the Holy Spirit upon the moment of salvation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit." The moment I trusted Christ as my Savior, I received the Holy Spirit. And as God's child, I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me today. Every Christian here this morning has the Holy Spirit living inside of them. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, "What? Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price." The Bible says that in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God dwells in us, and that's wonderful news, amen? That's wonderful news. But there's a difference between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that happens at the moment of salvation and the filling of the Holy Spirit that Paul is talking about here in Ephesians chapter 5. There's a difference. being filled with the Holy Spirit is not about us getting more of God. It's about God getting all of us and Christ living in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul the Apostle made this statement. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Paul said, Christ lives in me. See, how is that possible? How can Christ live in a person? Christ lives in us through the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God. Christ lives in you and me as believers through the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul was a man who understood what being filled with the Holy Spirit was all about. And he knew that it had nothing to do with working miracles or speaking in tongues or casting out devils necessarily. And to Paul, being filled with the Spirit meant that Christ lived in him not just one day a week, not just on Sunday, but every moment of every day. That's what Paul meant when he was talking about being filled with the Spirit and Christ living in him. And that's the way it should be with every child of God. That's the way it should be with every Christian. When we understand that Christ lives in us and that He is with us every day and that He is with us everywhere that we go, it will change the way that we live our lives. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And that's a promise that we can bank on. Amen? If you're here this morning and you're saved, the day you receive Christ as your personal Savior, He came into your life in the person of the Holy Spirit, and He came to stay. Now, if Jesus Christ lives in you, and if He lives in me, in the person of the Holy Spirit, what should our relationship with the Holy Spirit be? I mean, what should our attitude towards the Holy Spirit be? If we're going to live Christ-centered lives, if we want to have the Lord's power upon our lives, I believe God would have us to have a right relationship with His Holy Spirit. I believe God's desire is for us to have a right attitude towards His Holy Spirit that is now living in us. Now, if we're going to live a Holy Spirit-filled life as believers, as children of God, if we truly want God's power in our lives, then there are some things that we need to understand, and there are some things that we need to be doing, and then there are some things that we need not be doing. Amen? First of all, we need to understand just what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Does it mean speaking in tongues, speaking in unknown tongues? No. Does it mean falling backward when Benny Hinn or some other nut whaps you on the head? No, that's foolishness. Does it mean power to raise the dead? Does it mean power to heal the sick or power to cast out devils? No. Does it have anything to do with visions or dreams? I don't believe so. Does it have anything to do with feelings or emotions? You better believe it don't. The Bible says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Turn over to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. It's an Old Testament type or picture of the believer being filled with the Spirit. 1 Kings chapter 8. Verses 10 and 11. In this chapter, we read about the dedication of the temple. And the Bible says there in verses 10 and 11, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. The presence and the power of God was so evident in the temple on that day at the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem that the priests, the sons of Levi, those who ministered in the holy place, they had to leave. They could not stay. They could not do their job. The presence of God was so real in that place. The manifestation of God's glory was so real in that place that Solomon, the king, and the priests, and all the people who saw the cloud come down and fill the temple knew that God's presence was among them. And God wants to fill us in the same way. The cloud filling the temple in 1 Kings chapter 8 was a picture of the Holy Spirit filling the life of the believer. God's desire is that we be filled with His Spirit so that there is no room for any other controlling power in our lives. The Holy Spirit needs to be in control. In order for that to happen, there must be, first of all, a total commitment to Christ on our part. A total commitment to Christ on our part. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we are not our own. We belong to God. We have been bought with a price. We're God's purchased possession. And we'll never know what it means to be filled with the Spirit until we understand that every part of our being and every area of our lives doesn't belong to us, it belongs to God. I remember hearing about a story back in the days when D.L. Moody was preaching, and he was preaching in the city of Chicago, and several preachers got together and they were planning a citywide revival campaign, and they were trying to decide who are they going to get to do the speaking, who's going to be the main speaker. And an older pastor, an older gentleman, suggested that D.L. Moody do the preaching during this great citywide revival campaign. And one of the younger ministers there, who was a little bit jealous of Moody, said, why Moody? Does Moody have some kind of a monopoly on the Holy Spirit? And the older gentleman said, no, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on D.L. Moody. Does God's Holy Spirit have a monopoly on you today? Does God's Holy Spirit have a monopoly on your life? What part of your life this morning have you told the Lord He can't have? What part of your life have you slapped God's hand at and said, hey, no, you can't have that. You can't go there. What area of your life are you holding back from God today? What one thing is keeping you from knowing and experiencing the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life? Listen, we need to be totally committed to Christ if we are going to be filled with the Spirit. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Not only that, but we also need to continually yield ourselves to God in every area of our lives if we are going to be filled with the Spirit. This thing about yielding is so important. So few Christians are yielded to God in every area of our lives. There's no commitment, there's no desire, there's no submission to be in the will of God in most Christians' lives. They're just out doing their own thing, and they go to church once in a while, and they pray once in a while, and they may read their Bible once in a while, and they may even pass out a gospel tract, invite somebody to come to church once in a while, but they're not yielded to God, they're not living a Holy Spirit-filled life. We need to be continually yielded to God. We must constantly submit our will to Christ, because even if we are living a Spirit-filled life today, and I hope that you are, hey, that could change tomorrow, amen? If we're not yielded, if we don't stay yielded, if we're not careful to stay surrendered to Him, we must be yielded to God if we are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. The Bible says in James chapter 4 verse 6, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. God doesn't want us to stop walking in the Spirit for 1 minute. He wants us to continually walk in the Spirit. He wants it to be a normal thing in our lives for us to be filled with the Spirit. When we are totally committed to Christ, and as we continually yield ourselves to Him, it will show in our lives. There will be evidences in the lives of those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. One of those evidences is Spirit-filled worship. The Bible says in verse 19 there, in Ephesians chapter 5, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now for some of us, for some of those of you like me, that's a good place to keep it, amen? In the heart. But if it's in the heart, it's going to bubble out from time to time, amen? Because someone who is filled with the Spirit has a joy inside of them that they can't contain. It's going to overflow once in a while. Amen? You know why some Christians look like they've been sucking on sour lemons when they come to church on Sunday morning? Because they're not filled with the Spirit. See, when someone is truly filled with the Spirit, there's going to be Spirit-filled worship coming forth from their life, because the Spirit-filled Christian has the joy of Jesus in their heart. I've got the joy down in my heart. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit living inside of them this morning, but not every Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit. Not every Christian is living a Spirit-filled life. And that's my challenge to you this morning, to live a Holy Spirit-filled life, to be filled with the Spirit. Another evidence in the lives of those who are filled with the Spirit is thanksgiving, being thankful. The Bible says in verse 20, be filled with the Spirit, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we are living Spirit-filled lives, not only is there going to be a song in our hearts and a praise on our lips, but there's going to be thankfulness coming forth from our lives. Now, if thankfulness is an evidence of being filled with the Spirit, then it stands to reason that unthankfulness and discontentment is an evidence of somebody who is not living or walking in the Spirit, but walking according to the flesh. You ever notice how some Christians ever have anything good or uplifting to say about anybody else or anything? You show me a Christian who has a problem with this person or that person, or has a problem with this or that, or is always discontent and never has anything good to say, and I'll show you a Christian who is not walking in the Spirit, but is walking according to the flesh. Now, you show me a thankful, contented Christian, someone who tries to get along with everybody else, someone who tries to speak good words and be a blessing and be an encouragement to somebody, to everybody, somebody who refuses to let the little things people do and say bother them, and I'll show you a Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit and the power of God. A Christian who wants their own way all the time and has to always be right knows nothing about living a Spirit-filled life. A Spirit-filled Christian will look to accommodate others. The Bible says in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. When we submit ourselves to one another, that's a sign that we are walking in the Spirit. Hey, instead of criticizing your brother and sister in Christ, why don't you thank God for them? Why don't you just get down on your knees and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this person. Thank you for that person, instead of criticizing them. The Bible says we're to be filled with the Spirit. God wants your life and mine to be filled with His Spirit, just like the cloud that filled the temple in 1 Kings chapter 8. God wants our lives to be filled with His glory. What? Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit which are His. If you're a Christian here this morning, hey, you have God's Holy Spirit living inside of you. And that should be good news to you today. Some of you probably already knew that. Christ lives in you through the person of the Holy Spirit. But are you letting Him live His life through you? You have the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have you? Does the Holy Spirit have a monopoly on your life today? Christ lives in you, but is He living His life through you? Are you totally 100% committed to Him? What part of your life have you told God He can't have? What part of your life have you told God is off limits? What one thing is keeping you from experiencing and knowing the power of God and walking in His Holy Spirit and living in the Spirit? We need to be totally committed to Christ if we are going to be filled with the Spirit. Are you filled with the Spirit? Listen, we're either filled with the Spirit, we're either Spirit-filled this morning, or we're full of ourselves. It's one or the other. Unless we are willing to live the crucified life talked about in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, unless we're willing to die to self, we'll never know the joy of having Christ live His life through us. And I'm not just talking about Sunday. I'm not just talking about one or two days a week. I'm talking about continuously yielding our will to Him nonstop, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Be filled with the Spirit. It's not just a tip or a helpful suggestion. We don't have a choice in the matter. Be filled with the Spirit. It's not an option. It's a command. And we're either living in obedience to that command this morning, or we're not. So which is it? So few Christians, listen, so few Christians understand and know what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Living a Spirit-filled, Christ-centered life ought to be the normal life for every Christian. But it's not. And in most churches today, you'd be hard-pressed to find a Spirit-filled man or a Spirit-filled woman. And I'm talking about pastors and preachers and deacons and laymen and everything. I'm talking about the whole church. And we're talking about good, fundamental, Bible-believing churches. It should be the norm. But but it's not. You say, I don't know if I've ever been filled with the Holy Spirit. You probably haven't. Because if you had, you'd know. There's no mistaking the evidences of somebody who's been filled with the Spirit. There's no mistaking the filling of the Spirit. There's going to be some changes in your life. There'll be a change in your life that comes about when a person is walking in the Spirit. And if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you can't even think about living a Spirit-filled life because the Bible says you're still dead in trespasses and sins. An unsaved person can't be filled with the Spirit because they don't have God's Holy Spirit living inside of them in the person of the Holy Spirit. They don't have Christ in them. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if that's your situation this morning, if you don't have God living inside of you, I urge you to repent of your sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask Him to save you. And receive His free gift of eternal life today. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I told you I was going to preach short. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Is there anybody here this morning would say, I don't know Christ as my Savior. I've never repented of my sin and trusted Christ. I've never asked Jesus to save my soul. Is there anybody here this morning that would raise their hand and say, that's my situation. I can't live a Holy Spirit-filled life because I don't have God's Holy Spirit living inside of me. Is there anybody here this morning that would say, please pray for me. I'm not saved. I'm not saved. I'd like to pray for you. If that's your case, if that's your situation, I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to hound you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Is there anybody here this morning and say, I'm not saved. I don't know Christ. Okay. Christian, are you living a Spirit-filled life? Is there anybody here this morning, any Christian here this morning listening to the message that would say, Pastor, I want to be a Holy Spirit-filled Christian. I want God's power in my life. I want Christ to live His life through me, not just on Sunday, but every day of the week. Is there anybody here that would raise their hand and say, Preacher, pray for me. That's my desire. I see that hand. I see those hands. I see that hand. Thank you so much. I'm going to pray for you. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. We're going to have a song of invitation. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the message. If God's spoken to your heart, would you come? Don't stay in your seat if God's leading you to come forward, whether it's for salvation, whether it's for His filling in your life. Whatever it is God's leading you to do, would you respond? Would you come? Scott, would you come up and lead us in a song of invitation? I'll be down here at the altar if you need to pray. Scott?
Long.
654.
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
Dear Lord God, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the message this morning. Lord, I thank you how you've worked in my heart, in my life, Lord, in preparing the message, Lord, today. And Lord, I pray for those who raised their hands this morning, Lord, and desire, and Lord, to be filled with your Spirit and to live Spirit-filled lives. Lord, I pray that you'd help them, Lord. You know who they are. And Lord God, I pray that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit. God, help them to yield themselves to you, Lord, in every area of their lives, Lord. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would change them, Lord, that you'd mold them and make them into, Lord, what you'd have them to be. And Lord, bless us now as we go our separate ways, Lord. I pray that you bless each service, Lord, coming up, Lord, Sunday school, youth group, and the evening service, God. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to speak to our hearts, Lord, and Lord, move in our lives, Lord. We thank you so much for your presence here this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.